From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. It's time for our reporter roundtable, where we talk about stories making headlines across the state. Today, we're focusing on Springfield and the Metro East, that very populous part of Illinois across the river from St. Louis. Joining us now to talk about that is Sean Crawford. We're going to begin in Springfield. He's the managing editor for WUIS NPR Illinois. Sean, welcome back to The 21st Show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Brian.
I want to start with you with a couple of stories that involve public safety. The first is a listening session that is by a commission. It's known as the Sonia Massey Commission. Of course, she was the woman shot and killed by a Sangamon County sheriff's deputy. At least he was at the time, in her home over the summer. They held their first meeting on Monday. What happened there?
The commission is being formed at this point, and some of the leaders of this, which include local civic leaders, there's going to be citizens on this panel. They held a listening session, like you said, just to hear from some members of the community about what they want to see, some of the concerns. There's a lot of mistrust in the community right now, especially when it comes to law enforcement. They heard different things, many of the same things we've heard since the Sonia Massey shooting, and in all honesty, we've heard over the last few years from people. But this is just the start of a process that's expected to take several months. There's going to be other public hearings held. Wednesday night, the Sangamon County Board met and was supposed to finalize the makeup of this commission, some of the citizens who've applied to be on it. That's on hold at this point, but it's going to happen, and we'll just see where it goes from here. But it's all because of the Sonia Massey shooting that's what's led to this situation, in which they are looking to try to come up with some different answers, some different approaches to policing, and trying to build more trust within the community.
And this is really part of people are linking this with the death of Earl Moore Jr., who was died in, under the care or lack of care, perhaps, of a couple of paramedics in Springfield. People are saying there's a continuum of issues here, right?
That's right. And it's gone on for many years, especially among the Black community. Many people feel that way. And as I mentioned, the mistrust is still there. There's mistrust right now, I think, even in the process of forming this commission. We did get a new sheriff announced this week, and you know, maybe that's the start of something here that will change. But this is going to take a long time. And I don't think too many people have bought in yet that people in charge are serious about change. We'll have to wait and see how that plays out.
Well, that's actually, you've anticipated my next question, which is that there is a new sheriff for Sangamon County. Who is it?
Her name is Paula Crouch. She's a veteran of the Springfield Police Department. She retired as a lieutenant last year. She is a Sangamon County native, and she's also the first woman now to become the Sangamon County Sheriff. There have only been a few female sheriffs in the state of Illinois, so it is a landmark moment. She replaces Jack Campbell. He was the sheriff in charge when Sonia Massey was shot and killed, and he resigned amid the fallout of that and, of course, of the hiring of the deputy involved, which was Sean Grayson. Grayson now facing first-degree murder charges. So the case has made national news. Normally, something like a sheriff in a county in Illinois being named would not get that much attention outside of the county borders, but this is getting a lot of attention. And so she'll have a lot of pressure on her. She also has this commission working at the same time. So can she come in and really make big changes, or is she going to have to sort of, you know, sit back and listen to what people have to say and change might get pushed aside? She will fill out a term that goes until 2026. That is Campbell's unfinished term at this point. So again, you know, going to be a tough situation for her to come into. So we'll just have to see how things work out.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned the fact that she is filling out an elected term. When you think of the range of law enforcement leaders, right, whether it's a city police chief or a university police chief or a state trooper leadership or the FBI even, almost all of them are appointed by some elected official, not themselves elected, which makes the office of sheriff pretty unique. And I understand that one of the things that the county board was looking for here was somebody with management experience. And it's unusual that a board would get to be able to sort of pick someone to lead a county law enforcement organization.
Yeah, that's true. And it also makes it difficult in the sense that if you're, say, the county board and you have to make decisions on whether that person can stay or go, you're also looking at what's the will of the people. The people elected this person to have this job. It's not as simple as an appointment that you can, you know, pull back. quite often. So yeah, in this case, it's an appointment to fill out an unfinished term, and then the public will have its say come the next election, and that won't be for just about 2 years from now.
Well, sticking with the theme of law enforcement, there was a recently retired Springfield police sergeant who was arrested for DUI, or at least charged with DUI. What makes that case significant?
Well, this was a sergeant. He had retired earlier in the day, according to the police department. His name is Michael Egan. He wound up being involved in an accident in the Springfield area later that night. Authorities say he turned into the path of an oncoming motorcycle, and the two people on the motorcycle were seriously injured. That case now under investigation by the state police. They've taken it over. Egan has been charged with aggravated DUI. But what has made this case even more controversial was the video that was taken at the scene by many witnesses and also some other statements made by witnesses. They believe that Springfield police responded to the accident and gave preferential treatment to Egan, more so than would be typical in a DUI case. They said some were also joking with him. They offered him water, not treating the situation with the gravity that it likely warranted. Of course, the cops on the scene have been placed on leave. An internal investigation is also underway. And I thought it was interesting. The Springfield Police Chief Ken Scarlett addressed the city council just about a week or so ago. He said Egan embarrassed the profession of law enforcement. He called his actions selfish. And he apologized for the lack of compassion and lack of empathy that was displayed on the scene that day. These officers who did respond to the scene have been placed on administrative leave while this internal investigation continues.
Last thing I want to ask you about, Sean, and it's a more positive, upbeat story, fortunately. The Illinois State Fair, it's come and gone. What did attendance look like this year?
Well, it was more than 733,000 people came through the gates. That's another record for the state fair. It's been setting some records in recent years. And they, of course, have a different way of tracking the number of people who come to the fair. And these are whatever the industry standards say. It's kind of complicated, but everybody agrees that it's pretty accurate. There was
not like the old days when you and I still were covering state government and, you know, George Ryan would pull a number out of it. Oh, that's not fair. I shouldn't have said that.
They pick a few people and they just, you know, multiply it many times. But there was good weather for the fair. As you know, that's a big issue for the fair. It was cooler weather, had a nice break in the temperature. We didn't have any big rainfalls. And of course, we had really some pretty popular grandstand shows. One of those, Lil Wayne, set an attendance record as well with more than 15,000 seeing that show.
Amazing, Lil Wayne. Breaking records at the Illinois State Fair. Well, thank you for that. Sean Crawford is news director at NPR Illinois WUIS in Springfield. Thanks for your time.
Thanks a lot, Brian.
And we turn now to Will Bauer, Metro East reporter for KWMU, St. Louis Public Radio. Will, welcome back to the 21st show to you as well.
Hey, Brian. Good to be here.
So, Will, I want to start with a highway story, a major exit from Interstate 70 to Interstate 64 in East St. Louis has shut down. But perhaps more importantly, a major catastrophe was averted. What happened there?
Yeah, so basically earlier in the summer, IDOT, the Illinois Department of Transportation, found that the space in between the pieces of this off-ramp from Interstate 70 to 64, or the joint you could kind of call it, was just failing, catastrophically failing is what the regional IDOT employee here had told me. And a driver had just randomly seen it, and IDOT got out there and shut it down. And it was a good thing that they had called it in because it was pretty bad. And maybe if this kind of proves the point, it's so bad that IDOT is working on it, but they don't know exactly when they're going to be able to fix it. So all they can say is it's at least going to be next year, but they don't have an official timeline because they're still trying to figure out all the pieces to get it solved. But it'll definitely be a pain for commuters coming back to the Metro East, to the Illinois side of St. Louis, maybe from North St. Louis County. It's a pretty popular path for returning commuters. So it'll be inconvenient over the next couple of months or however long it takes to get it fixed.
Is this by the Museal Veterans Memorial Bridge?
Yeah. So Interstate 70 across the Mississippi River is the Stan Musial Memorial Bridge. And yeah, so if you're taking that going east and needing to get on Interstate 64, that's exactly where this exit ramp would have failed.
It's interesting because that's a relatively new piece of infrastructure. I guess maybe this part was older, or is it thought that there was something else going on?
Yeah, no, it is new. The Musial Bridge would have been complete, I believe, in 2014. So it is, a fairly recent piece of construction. But IDOT had said, you know, we want to take the long-term approach here and solve the underlying problem. We don't want to patch it up and just kick the can down the road. We want to get to the bottom of this, and that's why it's going to take a while. Might be inconvenient, but they'd rather take a while than have something bad happen.
Yeah, better safe than sorry. All right, another story in your area. An Amazon warehouse in Edwardsville has reopened. What's the significance of that?
Yeah, so you might remember back in December 2021, there was an EF3 tornado that destroyed the warehouse, or I guess the previous warehouse that would be at that location, and six employees on the inside would have died. So it was a pretty big deal when it happened, and there's been lots of scrutiny over warehouse policy, warehouse safety, and of course Amazon. And so the news is that on September 4th, just randomly happened to be 1,000 days after that initial tornado hit and the collapse, they reopened. So the delivery station, which is kind of like the last place an Amazon package would go before it gets shipped to your house, for example, reopened. And it's not necessarily new, but it's probably good to note that this warehouse doesn't have a storm shelter in it. They do have a place where people, employees would go during extreme weather, and they've ramped up their extreme weather procedures and whatnot, but there's no place in the warehouse that's impervious to extreme weather like a tornado. But that's not just an Amazon thing. They're not federally required, and they're really expensive. You know, Amazon has 800 North American facilities. So if they were to put one in here in Edwardsville, why wouldn't they put one in a lot of places that could potentially, you know, be under threat from a tornado or a hurricane down in the southeast? So anyway, the warehouse did get a little bit stronger. The city of Edwardsville did improve, or rather improved. They would have updated their codes, so the walls are a little bit stronger. But as you may know, the state legislature actually created a task force to study warehouse safety, and they've met a handful of times over these past couple of years. And their findings are actually due back to the legislature in a couple of months by the start of 2025. So we'll be looking out for those.
Another story in your area involves a major lawsuit around a coal-fired power plant that's moving forward. What's going on there?
Yeah, so Prairie State Energy Campus is a fairly significant employer here southeast of St. Louis. It's also the state's biggest emitter of carbon dioxide, and it provides about 180 communities in the Midwest and Mid-Atlantic with power from coal. So maybe some of the most notable in Illinois, Highland would be a community here in the Metro East area that gets power from it. Naperville up in the Chicagoland area also gets it. And so the Sierra Club, which is one of the larger environmental advocacy groups in the country, had sued Prairie State, the coal plant, a couple years ago in federal court, saying you don't have the proper permits to operate this facility. And of course, the company maintains they went through the proper state channels, and they'd asked the federal judge to dismiss this suit. The judge said, no, we think it can move forward. But the key part is the Sierra Club had asked the judge to shut the coal plant down. And the judge said, no, that'd kind of be an extraordinary request because a lot of towns rely on this power. So yeah, it's moving forward. And the latest order from the judge kind of set all the pre-trial festivities, right, like discovery, deposition, and mediation over the next couple of months. And of course, many civil lawsuits end up in a settlement of some kind. So that's also a possibility.
But the coal keeps burning and the power keeps flowing for now, I guess.
It does. It does, yeah. Indeed.
All right. Last story. An art center located in Alton is moving, but this has caused some consternation among some in the community. Why is that? What's happening there?
Yeah. So I guess where to start? This is a small town drama story, if you will. Long story short is that the art center is moving from their historic building, and that has upset a bunch of people that have really liked that art center and what it's provided for the community in that specific location. So I guess the context is John Simmons is a very prominent local attorney. He's also an SIU, Southern Illinois University Board of Trustees, and he's kind of been partly bankrolling this local economic development project the last couple of years. And they're doing some really ambitious things that I think most people would say, this is really good for the community. They built apartments, or they're building apartments in downtown. They're building space for new businesses. They're rehabbing old buildings where current businesses are. And that's kind of where the Jacoby Arts Center comes into play. So they're the local art center. They've been in that building for 20 years. It's a cool building, but it's an old building. And keeping up an old building got really, really expensive for the nonprofit. And they had asked this very prominent lawyer, John Simmons, to take over the building in 2018, and he did. And he's been helping cover all the costs, and they've been covering a portion. They being the Art Center has been covering a portion of the utilities, so not paying full rent. So fast forward to this year, the Economic Development Group is starting renovations on this building. And when the Art Center moves back in, at least according to like initial preliminary proposals were, hey, we're going to need you to pay rent, and we're also only going to be able to give you a fraction of this space. And the Art Center said, that doesn't work for us. We would like, you know, the full space that we had previously, because we can rent it out and we can make a little income that way. But AltenWorks is like, hey, we've been super generous and we need to make up for some of the millions of dollars that we're putting in renovations. So unfortunately, two parties couldn't come to an agreement. And like I said, it's kind of sad for the people that have come to know the Art Center in that building, in that location, and created some tension in town. So all in all, maybe an unfortunate outcome. And I think both groups are probably thinking we're ready to move on.
And so are we. Will Bauer, Metro East reporter for KWMU, St. Louis Public Radio. Thanks for sharing your reporting with us today on the 21st show.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
More to come after a short break. Before we go, I want to remind you we are now on YouTube. You can find us by searching Illinois Public Media, the 21st show on YouTube. Again, just search for Illinois Public Media. More to come after a break. This is the 21st show. Stay with us.